you bring a banjo, you got something to sing with? You going to sing a song? Bring it on. What about the dobro? You got it? Don't ever show up here again without that dobro. No. Y'all go ahead. I've still got a banjo. I don't like to waste a banjo. Bring it on. Whatever you got to do. We're not here for a long time, but we're here for a good time in the Lord. Uh-huh. You don't know what to call it? Oh. Well, just whatever it is. So, poke salad, Annie, or no? No, that ain't a church song. What are you talking about? All right, you want to go ahead and play "I Fly Away" and all these boys sing? Yeah. All right, boys. Y'all look to me like y'all are doing good. Come on up here. All these boys that want to, we're going to say, come on out. Come on, Gianni, help us out. Help us out. You ain't got to move your lips or something. Come on up here, Landon. We're going to sing "I Fly Away." In case some of you don't know something, there you go. That's a good boy right there. You want to sing our Easton? You want to sing with him? Come on. You come. If you'd like to, come on. Here it is right here. That's what I'm saying. All right, come on up here. You can start practicing giving us a little crescendo there. That's all right, yeah, he's good. There you go. Here, right. You ready? All right, some glad morning when this life is over, I fly away to a land long gone, celestial shore. I'll fly away, and I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away in the morning when I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. Amen, good job, all right, good. There you go, lady, y'all did good on that. Watch your step going down. All the way around. Uh-huh. It's a good job. Good job. Care where you're from, that's all right, right there. Let me get this button here mashed on. How's that right there? Is that it? Amen. God bless you to heart. Take your Bible, if you will, the book of Acts tonight. In the book of Acts. And we'll look there for a little while this evening. And in the book of Acts. And if I can find it myself, Acts chapter 22, find the place there. We'll get our text for tonight. Acts chapter number 22. Now, in the lesson that we're looking at, and you find the place, you're able to stand, and we're going to do so. And we'll begin to look there in this Acts chapter number 22. It's good to be saved, to know the Lord, and the free pardon of sin. It's good to be able to have the peace of God that'll pass all understanding into your heart and your mind. And we thank God for the privilege of that. All right, notice, if you will, please, in the lesson that we're looking at, is that in Acts chapter number 22, and the Bible says in about verse 7, and I fell to the ground and heard a voice. I want to tell you that you better have heard the voice. And said, I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom did thou persecutest. And they that were with me indeed saw the light, and they were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and I would do thank you now for the good singing that we've enjoyed this evening. We ask your blessings now upon this service, and Lord, may you heal the sick, revive the saint, lift up the downhearted. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Thank you and be seated. I want to preach on a little while tonight on did you hear the voice? You know, there's a lot of time people come to the house of God. They listen to the good singing that they've had. They've been able to feel some kind of emotion sometime. But let me tell you, it makes no difference what all you experience. If you never hear the voice of God, you'll die without him. This Bible said that there were some men with the Apostle Paul. And he was on the road to Damascus. In fact, he had letters from the officials that he could arrest Christians. He had already been arresting some, beating them up, breathing havoc against the church. Now, you would think that you wouldn't try to get somebody like that to be able to be an apostle and to be able to lead people to the Lord, but that's what God done. I mean, here's a guy that was mad against God, the Bible, against that which is holy, which was right, which was decent. And here's a man that breathed havoc against the church, and God got a hold of him on the road to Damascus. Now, it was about noontime, and there was a light shining above the brightness of the sun. And boy, all those people that were accompanying him, they could see the light, but they didn't hear what Paul heard. And he heard the voice, and the voice said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And I want to tell you, you know what he did? He didn't come up with another angle or something. He said, "Who art thou, Lord?" You remember the first time God ever knocked on your heart's door and you might have said, boy, that's a little, I think I'm going to wait a while. I want to make sure, you know, that I live to see another day when Sears is opened up. Well, that was back when Sears was in business, you know. And all that business there. Now, you know, used to you could buy a Sears tool and it was pretty good. Now it'll last you if you get home, till you get home with it if you don't use it. And all that. I can't afford it. I used to use nothing but those high-dollar Snap-on. Somebody said, yeah, Snap-on fall off. And when they get a little wear, sure they will. I want to say to you that if you will, it doesn't make any difference what kind of tool, what kind of education, what kind of this or that, what kind of program you may or may not be going to. There's a lot of things that'll happen in this life. And let me tell you, it'll get your attention. But if you never hear the voice of God, you'll not be able to miss hell and make heaven. I was thinking about whenever you begin to look into this, he was chosen. Now, did you notice that none of those other men, they didn't hear the voice either. I mean, they saw the light. They saw something was going on and stirring people. But you would have thought some of them would have said, "Hey, what's the matter with you, Saul?" And because, you know, here's a man that was mean. Here was a man that was a killer. Here was a man that stood with the garments of Stephen while they stoned him to death and while Stephen called upon the name of the Lord. We're talking about a man that was pretty ruthless and pretty heartless. And he stood there with their garments and kept their coats and garments while they stoned Stephen to death, calling upon the name of the Lord. I want to tell you something. It wasn't long until one day, whenever he was walking down the road, about noontime, above the brightness of the sun, there was a light shone. Now, you know, if that had been an early morning sunrise, that'd been one thing. If it had been the middle of the day, I'm talking about, and it just got good and hot. But no. Do you know how bright the sun is during the noontime? Well, go out and look at it. You can't look at it and unless it's a cloudy day or something like that. I want to tell you something. Whenever God made it shine above the brightness of the sun, he is getting some people's attention. And by the way, I'm glad he got my attention, and I'm glad that I can look back and say, thanks be unto God, not only did I see the light, I've heard the voice. You know, in the lesson, I was reading, I like that song, Brother Randy sings a lot, and he called my name. Let me tell you, I heard a voice. he called my voice tonight in a chosen place. I can promise you right now that if you can't see, when you hear the story about how this all came about and about who gave what and about these workers that were out there, let me tell you right now, it's more than perchance that you and I are here tonight. And I got to tell you right now is that it's a chosen place, no doubt. It was in a chosen time. Make no mistake about it, you're going to find out that all these years that we've been serving God together that later happened after that God put it here, I can tell you we can see that the hand of God's still on the move and that he's still speaking and using us as a mouthpiece to be able to speak through. Now, in this lesson here that we're looking at, let me say to you, a chosen vessel is a person that God has personally called. Has he personally called on to you? Sure he has. If you're saved, he has. If not, it may be because he called and you wouldn't answer, see. I don't want to be that person that when God, you know, now sometimes every now and again somebody will knock on the door somebody will knock and we'll go see who is it. And most of the times, you know, it's one of a dozen kids or grandkids. And sometimes, though, it's somebody that's working with UPS or FedEx. Now, sometimes it's somebody that can't find an address. And sometimes, you know, we hear the sound, but the voice is not familiar. I got to tell you right now, the Bible said over the book of Revelation, behold, Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open up, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. I can tell you, when God comes knocking, you ought to answer. And if you will, God will do great and mighty things that you know not. In this lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out, we see on display here the converting power of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But ever said, Lord, who art thou? He said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, and it's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now let me tell you right now, is that God chose him, and he's a chosen vessel of God, that he might be able to tell others up and down the road of life about the saving grace of God that's been bestowed upon him, that can be bestowed upon them. Now in this lesson here that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out that over there in chapter number 26, look there if you will, chapter number 22, we're going to look there first, and then chapter 26. Now in chapter number 22, here's the Apostle Paul, and as he's before leaders that are there in the land, the governor, one of them was named Felix and so forth and on. But notice, if you will, that in chapter number 22, at about verse number 7, he said, and I fell to the ground, I heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light, and they were afraid. That's something, isn't it? But they heard not the voice of him that spake unto me. And I said, what shall I do, Lord? I'm going to tell you, there's whenever God will do business with you. When he comes knocking on your heart and begins to get a hold of your heart and get your attention, and you begin to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? And you surrender unto the Lord. That's the most wonderful time of your life that you'll ever enjoy. Look in chapter 26 of the book of Acts. And over there before Agrippa, King Agrippa, and as you find there in about verse number 12, he said, whereupon as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priests. Now here's a guy who had legal papers, if you will, even though they were illegal in the sight of God, but he had the chief priests on his side going to arrest Christians and beat them and so forth and on. And he said, whereupon I went to Damascus in verse 12 with the authority and commission of the chief priests. At midday, O king, I saw the way of light from heaven above the brightness of the sun shining forth around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, look at that, I heard a voice speak unto me, saying unto the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Arise and stand upon thy feet, for he said, I've appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which I've seen and of those things which I will appear unto thee. I want to say that when you begin to look into it, the biggest thing that he had and God was preparing him for, God wanted to use him as a vessel, as an ambassador for Christ. And in verse number 18, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from power of Satan to unto God, that they may receive the forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now I'm going to tell you is that here you'll find he's a chosen vessel. A chosen vessel has a touch of God. A chosen vessel has a message of God. A chosen vessel sees the power of God that's not only displayed through his own preaching and own life, but those around about was able to see it as well. Do you realize, though, that a chosen vessel has the mark of holiness on it? I mean, that's just the truth. You can always tell a child of God when you meet one up and down the road of life. And the reason being is because they've got an unusual character about them. The mark of holiness is upon them. I've had people, you know, you'd meet people for the first time and they find out, you know, you're a preacher, you're a church going man or a woman, and then all of a sudden they want to get religious too. And after all that cussing and ranting and raving and that they've done, now they want to be religious too, see. And I've literally told some of them after listening to a string of profanity and cussing, I've literally told some of them whenever I finally said, I guess you're not going to church anywhere. Oh, well, yeah, I go sometime. I bet you're Baptist. And they'll look at you dumbfounded. What? I bet you're Baptist. Well, I guess so. Why? Well, because your mouth's too nasty to be anything else. Son, that'll get them. Now, you don't want to just bow that off to anybody. If they're bigger than you, they may could whip you, but I felt like I could outrun a few of these people. I said all that to be able to say this, a chosen vessel has a mark of holiness upon it. And boy, everywhere old Paul went from then on, they knew something was different in a good sense about him. They used to be afraid when they saw him that they wasn't going to live very long. And then after a while, you know, you find out is that a message that God gave him to give to them to open up their eyes and turn them from sin unto the Savior. Now, in closing tonight, let me say to you that, if you will, we are what we are by the grace of God. I don't know about you, but I come here and I listen to these kids and these young men and young ladies and these young boys, these young men too. I listen to them sing and watch them grow and watch them participate. And it just does my heart good to be able to know that, hey, here's some people here that have the touch of God upon them. And some of them with the touch of holiness, others that will have. But I want to tell you something, a chosen vessel is what it is by the grace of God. And I want to say to you that, if you will, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. But it's by the grace of God that you and I have been saved and called into the family of God. Now, you know, there's about three garments that you could connect with this if you wanted to. Don't turn there, but in Isaiah chapter number 59, in about verse number 17, there's a garment of vengeance that people wear. He talked about that. In Isaiah 61 and verse number 3, there's a garment of praise that every child of God ought to have. In Isaiah 61 and verse 10, there's the garment of salvation. Now, I hope that God has put that upon you. He's the only one that can. And by the way, that whenever you look into it, remember blind Bartimaeus over in Matthew chapter number 10? He's sitting there by the highway side begging. One day there was a commotion, and he asked, inquired, who is it? And they said, it's Jesus of Nazareth that's coming by. And old blind Bartimaeus, you know the story, he jumped in and began to holler to him. And let me tell you right now, as he cried out unto him, they tried to get him to hold his peace, but the more they tried to get him to stop, he would cry out, and Jesus of Nazareth, and he cried out, thy Son of God, I want to, and let me tell you, he finally got attention of the Lord, and buddy, they said, he's calling you up here to him. And when he said, what would you have me do for you? He said, that I might be able to see. That's the same thing you and I needed when we was lost and undone without God. And boy, let me tell you, from that very moment, he was able to receive his sight. Now, I want to tell you, everywhere he went the rest of that day, somebody could tell and knew that he had been with the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that whenever you read these passages and look into it, they're just more than a good holy story. There are things that have happened to real people, our real experience, like you and I have had happen to us. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to say that I'm a part of the family of God. That man over there, Bartimaeus, he had been sitting there covering with a garment, and he got up and he threw it away. I want to tell you something. Nobody ever gets saved till they get tired of trusting in what they've gathered together themselves to cover with, and they get covered by the righteousness of God. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our Father, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl that you've been knocking on their heart's door, and they've not said yes to God even as yet. Lord, may you reveal to them who you are and who they are and what they need as in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Save the lost, lift up the downhearted, I pray thee. And we'll thank you in advance for